Hi, everyone. Welcome to This Is Row, a podcast dedicated to my fellow nomads out there. On this show, I'll be sitting down with my friends and chatting about how their life stories have prepared them for who they are today, how they are just figuring it out, connecting the dots, and what the roadblocks are on the way to their version of success. On this week's episode, I'm sitting down with a fellow life coach, business owner, and friend. On this week's episode, I'm sitting down with a fellow life coach, business owner, and friend, Erica Sweeting. We're chatting about new beginnings, what we have learned from our old selves, and what we are working on for our future selves. So I hope you enjoy.
So, you know, here's what I was thinking, actually, since we're talking about transition and story and things like that, because I feel like this is my coming out party.
I'm coming out.
Because I really haven't talked about the divorce anywhere publicly. So, and I'm perfectly comfortable doing that. I want to be able to share this. So this is going to be perfect because this is a way, one, because you are, I mean, I already want to share it, obviously, anyway. And then part of me was like, and I'm going to be telling, oh, I haven't said my story anywhere. Okay, this is how we do it.
So our theme is new beginnings, which I think is really cool. It's something that comes up for us as friends, but also us as coach and client relationship of where we're pulling from in terms of experience, life experience, and where we don't want to go and where we do want to go in terms of direction. Yeah. Okay, so let me take you back to what was the year? January of 2022. And I'd love to hear your side of the story of how you ended up at this life coaching program. I ended up there by having a burnout. I had five previous jobs. I had no idea what I was doing, where I was going, until a friend of mine was like, this life coaching thing though, like sounds like it's right up your alley and you should just fucking go for it. Mm. So I ended up getting this program gifted by a friend and she was like, listen, pay for it now and you can join in a month. So I join in January. I think it was like the end of January. You were one of the people in my original life coaching cohort. So I'd love to know how you got to the life coaching program.
If I rewind a little bit, I could tell you that I had looked into maybe a year or a year and a half prior, I had stumbled across a life coaching program. I don't even know which one it was, just somebody talking about it. And the way they described it, I thought, I've never heard of this before. And I would be That would be perfect for me. I feel like that's who I am because I am a business owner. I have had a business, but one of the things I always struggled with was I don't want to always be telling people what to do. I want to hear their story. I want to listen to them. I want them to figure out how does this work in their situation with their experience and their life. So I knew it was something I was interested in, but it just wasn't the right timing. I kind of breezed past it. And I do call the last maybe 5 years of my life the great unraveling. And I was at a point then before joining the program of coming out of an intense time of upheaval, change, trauma, a whole bunch of things. And it was this, you know, where sometimes an emergency happens and you're great in a crisis and then the crisis is over and it all catches up with you and you shut down or you freak out or you have a panic attack and it's after the incident. That's kind of what was happening in my life at the time. I was coming out of this, I was healing and it was like everything was catching up to me. Mm-hmm. And even though I knew the great unraveling was necessary and good, and I was walking into this great rebuilding, which is I had grieved over the past and I'm excited about the future. But then all of a sudden, everything was shutting down and I was like panicking and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I stumbled across a link or a post or something for this life coaching program. And I thought, that's it. So I kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit. And I was meeting with a therapist at the time, and she basically encouraged me. She said, listen, let's talk pros and cons. What do you have to lose? The financial investment and maybe some time, but this is going to give you at least an anchor, right? As you're moving forward, it gives you something to keep you on track. It gives you something to do every week. And I thought, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this really seems like it fits. So I bit the bullet and the rest is history, as they say.
Oh, that's so good. It's so interesting, right? That something that I'm picking up from your story is it's like you signed up for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that at the time. Because I was always, even when I was a kid, when anybody would say, what do you want to do when you grow up? Or who do you want to be? I would always just say, I don't know. I just want to help people. And that's kind of been a theme in my life. So even going through crisis, my thought was, how can I use this to help other people? Which I have learned, you know, can be a good thing. And it can also be a very unhealthy thing if we're not, you know, healing and growing and helping ourselves as well. And so my intent was really to help others. And, you know, I saw this as a potential pivot in my business as well, but I didn't realize how much it would help me.
I don't know what to say other than I know exactly what you're saying, which often is really, it's not even a statement that we use in coaching. That's, we don't do that at all. But in this case, I want to say everything you just said is a hard yes. You really don't know what a life coaching program provides you personally, other than the idea that you're just like, oh no, but I'm good at listening. I want to help other people. And it's almost as if like, little do you know, girl, you're doing everything for you first. So it's almost as if you're getting like a double return of investment.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you think about it.
How was that experience for you?
Becoming one or starting the program?
Well, just that whole idea of I did it with one intent and yet what was the double return in my life?
Yeah, that's such a good question. You know, when you're at a place in your life where you're just like, think this is rock bottom.
Yes, I know it well.
And then you're just like, I don't know if I could dig even deeper to get to below the rock bottom, right? So it's like this weird mindset that you're in involuntarily that you're like, well, I don't really think I have more to lose than what I have lost already. My self-worth, my self-love, my self-interest, just everything, right? So when I will say selfishly, I decided to join the program to help other people because that makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
The introduction class where everyone got to meet each other and kind of know what type of characters are in the group. You have like your small group and then you need to pick out someone and then you got a coach. And I was set up with someone who is, you know, 25 years my senior and has had multiple life coaches in his life. And here I am going to coach him. I was like, all right. I already apologized. I said, I'm so sorry if I fail you already. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And what was really interesting is when I did that, I was like, maybe this isn't for me. So I had like a minor freak out of, oh shit, I'm not supposed to say anything. Mm. I'm supposed to listen. Mm. So then the same week he returned coaching to me and that's when it clicked. I was like, this is what I've been looking for in therapy for the past 3 years.
Wow.
And then I was like, this is what I've been looking for in therapy for the past 3 years. I was like, what have I been doing? Like, why did my mental health professional not tell me this? It was a very quick turnaround where I was like, holy shit. Okay, cool. I got this and this is what I need. So I'm getting free coaching, but it's not really free because you're bartering your time and your skill set. Did you have a particular moment where you were like, oh, wait, this is helpful.
Oh, this is helpful? Yeah. Although I will say, you know, in the beginning when we had to do this peer-to-peer coaching and we had no idea what we were doing, one of the most stressful things for me was having to come up with topics to be coached on because I had never been to a coach before. So I just thought, what does that look like? What do I bring? And I think just the whole idea of, I've always had a hard time of asking for help, not because I don't want it, but let's just be honest, it's a trauma response from things in my childhood and in my former marriage and things like that. And so even that itself was extremely stressful, stretching for me and has made me realize, oh, this is super helpful. This is so good for me. But I would say, kind of to answer your question more succinctly, I remember some of those early coaching sessions where at the time I kept thinking, can I make time for this? Because I need to be working. I need to be bringing in an income. I need to be supporting my family. And here I am taking hours and hours every week just to trade coaching with somebody else. But every single time I would get off a call, whether I was being coached or I was coaching somebody else, it just felt incredibly life-giving. And just this confirmation of like, this is where I'm supposed to be. Not that it was always easy, and not that I didn't have moments where I was like, wait a second, is this the right thing? But more times than not, I just thought, I found the place. This is it.
I guess I want to say, for anyone who's listening who doesn't really know what a life coach is,
which was also me before I jumped into a program.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I always tell people, I was like, it's kind of funny considering I'd never had a coach, but somewhere I thought I should go be one. But I'd never known of a life coach. I know of a personal fitness coach. I know of like a sports coach, but I didn't ever understand the premise of life coaching. So for anyone who's listening and is still a little bit like confused about what it is, as we were when we started, first and foremost, life coaching is not giving advice. Never do you give advice. I asked my coach, who I'm on this call with today, I ask for her advice explicitly on something. Right. So when I ask you, like, can I have your input or what do you think? You always kind of, well, you can explain, but I always get this impression that you kind of check yourself and say, how can I provide information that is helpful to her that is from my own lived experience? Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think that was one of the biggest pieces of information for me right in the beginning, starting the program, is we're not there to give advice. And also, I realized, I think I said this in the beginning, I didn't want to be telling people what to do. I wanted to help them figure out whatever this piece of information is, how does that fit in their life and their lived experience and all of that. And then we hear in this program, yeah, it's not for giving advice, which of course means I then realized how much advice I always am wanting to give. Mm-hmm. And so retraining my brain to listen, to ask questions, and then to wait, because I think that's a big one. And I did for the past year-ish, I've done corporate training in diversity and inclusion. And so that, even just doing that training, has grown my understanding of differences and different lived experiences and how that impacts not just how we see the world, but how we perceive one another in our life coaching program. And then actually coaching people, it is such a powerful, repeated reminder that I might think initially that I understand where a person is coming from. But to your point, I have to check myself and recognize I might understand through my experience, through my knowledge, through my feelings and all of that. That doesn't mean I understand how this person is feeling. And so to then dig deeper and ask more questions, even when you explicitly ask for my advice, I hope and try to even ask some more questions before just directly giving it. Because again, what would work for me might not be the thing that works for you.
Yeah. And I actually recognize that a lot when you say that. That's also why I'm like kind of like laughing about it, because you do. You're always like, let me not let her get me to do something that I'm not sure if I want to. But you also do it in such a professional way, because granted, life coaching is a co-collaboration. It's not where you go in therapy, for example, you go seek a professional for, let's say I had depression for a long time. So I seek out a professional to help me through what depression means and what that looks like and what I'm supposed to do with it and where I'm supposed to do my, what you call your great unraveling. Side note, therapy has everything to do as well with your past. So you can think about it as where therapy ends, coaching begins.
Yes.
Or they kind of overlap when you're transitioning out of therapy. I think it's always a really interesting time to incorporate coaching there.
Yes. Well, and it can be done simultaneously, but I think it just depends on how much you're dealing with from the past.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what the topics are. But yes, I love that reminder. Therapy deals with the past. Coaching is much more, it's future thinking, but also can deal with the present circumstances right now to get us into the future that we desire, that we want. Or figuring out what that is, because for some of us, right, might not know.
Well, that's what I was going to say as well, is yesterday I was on a call with a girl to talk about what it's like being neurodivergent. And I thought it was going to be like a 20-minute call. We were on the phone for a solid hour. I kind of pitched her coaching without meaning to pitch her coaching. So of course, I sit down and I take my wizard brain. I'm like, how can I write this in a text message that doesn't overwhelm you, but gives you all the information? So one thing that came up while I was texting her was, one, figuring out your future, because sometimes we know what we don't want, but the bigger struggle is finding out what we do want that aligns with our purpose and our overall joy and what makes us happy. Some of us are really lucky to know what that is, and we just need the aids to get there, but some of us don't. The other thing that came up, you can reference from the past. And then I give an example, like, I do X, Y, and Z because of X, Y, and Z trauma. Right. I have that revelation now, right? Okay, cool. So how do I apply that to my future self? And in coaching, I find that just because you have acknowledged in therapy what you were doing wrong or a bad habit or whatever the case is, and you're healing that, coaching is such a wonderful tool to add to your process of healing and discovery, because now you're like, well, I know what I don't want to do, but I don't know where to go with that.
Yeah,
that's what I learned while I was texting this lady. And I was like, wow, I didn't even realize that that's what coaching is too.
So it's really interesting to hear you say that and to hear you say that you kind of discovered that as you were texting just yesterday, because I feel like you do that so well. You help me with that tremendously. And I'm going to give an example because I think it hits home your point too, but also just says what a great coach you are. Because here's the thing, we can know about whatever our past experiences were or our past trauma. We can intellectualize them. We can maybe even articulate them. But the reality of any type of growth is it's going to come in layers. So I might feel, let's just use confidence as an example. So I might feel really confident because I've worked on my self-worth and I'm going into the situation. I feel really confident in this situation. And then another situation comes up and all of that stuff is coming up again. And I'm not feeling confident. And I know this is part of my past. I know this is what is affecting what I'm going through right now. But now what do I do with the feels and how do I actually move forward into what I know I need to do? So we're revisiting it over and over again, essentially, but it's in a forward thinking way. And not speaking confidence related, but I've had this happen, you know, multiple times where I might know what I need to do, but my feelings from a particular situation or person or event that recently happened in my life will come up and kind of derail me. And so it's kind of talking about, okay, who are you? Let's remember this. What do you actually want? I think one thing you do so beautifully and that I love so much about coaching is it is a safe space. So when we talk about holding space for people, that ultimately is what coaching is supposed to be. And you do it so well, because if we don't have the space for one, and if we don't feel safe to do it, we are not going to get there. We're not going to be able to be honest with ourselves. And how I feel like I have said this on repeat for the past however many months, if we cannot be honest with ourselves, how in the world can we be honest with anybody else? But it's a scary thing to go there sometimes, and we need that safe space and good questions and all of that to get there. So,
well, I appreciate you saying that, because it also just shows that just on a personal level, how oblivious I clearly still am about what I do well. It's where I thrive the most. The less I know, the better. I just have to do, and I just trust that I know what I'm doing, but I don't need to be like, well, this is why I do great things. Like, I don't actually know these things. Yeah. So in coaching as well, what's interesting is, have you ever been in a situation where you're super heightened with emotions and thoughts due to like an event or a situation that happened, and you go to a friend or you call a friend and you tell them the story, and without any thought or question, here they are, well, I think you should just tell them that you don't like it. And you're like, oh, okay. But where was the moment for me to release the thoughts, the emotions as like an after effect of the situation, or someone said something nasty or whatever the case is? And I always found in my friends that I would feel like I'm fighting for airtime. To try and be like, yeah, but, and then this happened, and then this happened. And then it's like, yeah, well, you know, they just sound like they're really unhappy. It's like, you just shoot it down. The opposite happens in coaching. Yeah. Coaches and very good coaches never shoot you down, cutting you off with a thought or a piece of advice or, you know, anything like that. In coaching as well, what's so vulnerable, and especially in the beginning for many people, is very uncomfortable, is I let you sit with whatever it is that you're feeling, as do you. And sometimes those 2 minutes is so scary that you cry or you get really confused or you kind of internalize your in your mind thoughts. And then the coach, I always like to say, I facilitate the process of connecting the answers to your questions because you have them all.
Yes.
And even if you don't have a question, then I will just sit in the space with you. Because who the fuck am I to tell you what the fuck to do? And I feel like that's a really big part of the life coaching like journey that I want people to know.
Yeah.
Because till this day, I don't know how you've experienced this, but people are like, oh, so it's kind of like advising. And it's like kind of like therapy or counseling. And I was like, it literally is not any of those things.
Yeah. Yep.
How do you tell people when you introduce yourself now as like a life coach, if you will?
I'm laughing because I don't often introduce myself as a life coach.
What?
I don't like the term. Well, and the reason is because I didn't really know what a life coach was prior to doing the program. I've already said that.
Fair enough.
But the more that I have heard about life coaching, or it's kind of like the, you know, the whole reticular activating system in our brain. It's the red car syndrome. You're going to buy a red car. So now all of a sudden you see red cars everywhere, right? Because your brain is looking for that data. Similarly, now it's like life coach, everyone's a life coach. And not everybody who's a life coach has done a program, has gotten certified, is actually coaching, right? So many of them are just maybe teaching or training or having a small group or mentoring. They're not actually coaching, right? Like what we have learned coaching to be. And so sometimes I think of life coaching, or I think other people perceive life coaching as this like, oh, you couldn't do anything else with your life, so you're going to be a life coach. It's just terrible to say. But that's true. And so I am working through some of that in how I, introduce myself and actually explain what life coaching is, because I believe so much in its value and its power. Here's where I have found it to be extremely beneficial and powerful is with people. I mean, it's with everybody, but maybe it's because this is the type of person I am, who I feel like oftentimes I know what I need to do. I've read the books. I've learned the lesson. I've listened to the podcast. It's just, what is holding me back from doing whatever that thing is? And that could be something business related. It could be something personal related. It could be something emotionally or relationally specific. And I think there's a lot of us who could beat ourselves up about not being able to just do the thing, even though we know, just do it. I just got to get out there and do it. And we might do that really well in some areas, but then there's other areas that are holding us back because there's other stuff going on internally that maybe we're unaware of. You and I say frequently, you don't know what you don't know, right? And I think that was one of the things for me with life coaching, is I really didn't know until I experienced it. And then also as I began learning how to be an effective coach. And you said a word just a little bit ago when you were talking about it, about vulnerability in this vulnerable space. And I think that could potentially scare people. And yet that right there, there is so much power in that, because that is a place where that's where the power is. That's where transformation can really take place.
I think I heard someone say something along the lines of, you cannot expect your client to go to that place if you yourself have not been to that place.
Oh, yeah.
Take it how you want, but I personally, and I'd love to know how you do this, whoever I speak to, whether it's an official coaching client or I just take the coach approach to the conversation, well, I speak with conviction that I can tell you that I'm living proof of where you're about to go, or what you're avoiding doing or thinking about is your fear holding you back. But on the other side of that corner of fear is success.
Yeah.
So whenever you're ready, I'll be here to support you through that. I just can't tell you when you're ready, when it's your time to go do that.
Yeah.
I believe that it's almost like a badge of honor that I carry of like, yeah, I've been to that place and it's really scary. And being super depressed to a point where going to the bathroom or taking a shower, doing like the minimal thing that your brain doesn't even think about doing anymore on a daily basis, that you cannot even get out of bed to go do that.
Yeah.
And I was already in my 20s when this happened. And my mom took care of me like I was a 5-year-old girl, gave me food and bed like I was kind of in prison, but it was my own mental prison. And that at some, and she didn't say anything. She wasn't like, get out of bed, stop being, you know, dramatic, or she never did any of those things. She just completely gave in to her caring mode of a mother. Wow. And eventually when you get out of such place of darkness, I laugh now because it's almost imaginable that that's a place where I used to be in. And the place that I'm in now is like, boy, I love life.
Yeah.
Which if you told me that 5, 6, 7 years ago, I would have no emotional bandwidth to even respond to that.
Yeah.
So I believe that I also have to speak in conviction to my clients and say, I hear you. I see you. I acknowledge your fear. Just let me know when you're ready to even dip your toe.
Yep.
Because I got you.
Yep.
And if you can find someone who is a life coach that gives you that confidence, but also that safety, then I think you found a really good match.
Yeah. I think it's so beautiful what your mom did in those moments. I think that just speaks volumes. And I absolutely love that. And I do think that there is something, we're all going to have very different experiences, different backgrounds. And yet, you know, you and I have talked often about this whole idea of suffering and pain and growth and the human experience, right? We all have our stories, which might have very different plot lines. And yet there are these common threads that run through, these themes that run through. Finding a coach who has been to who's been to the depths, really, because that's what, if we don't go to those places, those things are going to be what rule and control us. And again, I mean, I want to say too, life coaching isn't all like so serious and somber and heavy all the time. It's just when you're reaching for something, when you're moving forward, whether that's in a business goal or a personal goal or trying to get more organized, you know, whatever that might be, or relationally, some of these other things are going to come up because we've lived out of these belief systems or these subconscious thought patterns for so long. So it's not that every single session is this heavy cry fest or anything like that, but there is a safe place when those things come up because those tend to be some of the blind spots or the roadblocks that are keeping us from achieving the things that we want or moving in the direction that we want to go.
Absolutely. The other thing that I had to edit in very quickly before I was about to press send was the roadblock element.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much one of the most main, she's like the main character of a session.
Yeah.
And a coaching relationship. Yeah. Like if there's no roadblocks, there are no life coaches. Like what is the point?
Right.
So I added in this line of, so let's say you know what triggered you from your past, and we've figured that out in therapy and made some clarity and knowing how to adapt to that for your future self. Cool. You also were lucky enough to find something that you're so excited about of doing. But then there's that really big in-between space of how to do where I am now to getting there, right?
Yeah.
And then you also, and this is what you and I speak about a lot, is what does that actually feel like in your body?
Yes.
Because there's one thing to dream about it. Then you have the feeling of excitement. Cool. Mm-hmm. Also, when shit gets hard, you have to make sure to wake up the next day and go do that shit again. So you better believe that whatever you choose, that that's what you're able to do. And then I was telling her like, yeah, so that's kind of where your roadblocks will show up. And sometimes it can be as small as, I guess I was holding on to like a limiting belief that someone else put in my mind.
Yep.
Or it's a, hey, there is like artificial intelligence. Like here is a cool program that helps you solve this one thing that's stressing you out the most.
Yep.
So it could be a variety of things from actual technological tools to, well, this is maybe like a really good point of you to kind of go to your therapist with.
Yeah.
And then I can help you organize. So it's just to your point, I don't go to coaching and just cry every day. Like, that's not like what I do. I've done it maybe once or twice, just pure out of what I felt was a defeat, or just my bandwidth of all the things that I had on my mind was just met and I just couldn't do anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think this is also maybe an interesting time for us to kind of go into what you and I work on as coaches. Okay. With each other, if you're interested in kind of diving into that.
Sure. I'll let you start. You want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
I think I found out that you have a business.
Yeah.
And I was pretending that I knew how to have a business. And I was like, I have the literal business. And now I just need to find a way to make money with this business. Yeah. And I think that's initially why I was ballsy enough to be like, hi, I don't know if this is something that you want to coach on, but I heard you have a successful business and I would love to learn from you as I'm going through my own process of creatively, but also logistically understanding what that takes. I believe that's how I pretty much invited you on like a coaching date.
Yeah. A coaching date.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what I can tell you, but yeah, I've done this so I can do the best I can.
That's literally what you said. And I was like, oh my God, she's downplaying it. And mind you, I didn't even know to what extent you had a business, but I was like, man, one thing that we talk about a lot, which I think a lot of people more so than, you know, post 2020 are like, if you're my vibe, you're my vibe. But if you're not, then I can't have you in my life.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what our spark had from like a coaching perspective.
Yeah.
And then I think we got really fortunate that we actually wanted to be friends.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I mean, I feel like I could say so much about that because I'm so thankful.
I am thankful though. So here's, okay, so I'll tell the story about how we kind of started. And I was very ballsy because you could have easily said, no, I don't know if that's like what I want to coach on. Luckily for me, you didn't really know what you were going to coach on. So you were just like, whatever, I'll just go with it.
Yeah.
So I said, I have a business and I want to start making money online, but I'm also a coach and I don't really know what to do with all of that information. Mm-hmm. And then the typical coaching response is, tell me more.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Tell me about that. Mm-hmm. And I think I just word vomited of like, I wanted to create freedom for myself by working from home or working from anywhere. My main priority is making money through life coaching by helping other people. I'm not ashamed to say that I want to monetize on a great skill set that I have, but I also want to have a presence online because it's a free space to kind of share your thoughts and ideas. And then I said, I'm just really overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I'm overwhelmed by my own thoughts. And it just feels like you have all these pieces, but the pieces don't fit together is what it feels like. And I have to say that outside of the expertise that you share with me in terms of like starting a business or how you created a like a mailing list or what type of blogs you would write, like all the expertise that you would share, you always did it in such a way where it's like very Coach Erica meets Business Erica, which is a very interesting flavor. And it's exactly what I needed because I didn't want to talk to a coach who was like, no, you're going to be great and you can have an online business. And it's like, well, what did you do? You're like, oh no, I teach math to first graders. You're like, well, that doesn't tell me if what I'm doing is the right direction. In theory, they say that when you're doing life coaching, like the broad life coaching, that I don't need to know or have experience in the thing that you are struggling with.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I will say too, we kind of, you and I, as we, especially as we became more friends too, we expanded it and we would do a kind of a coach slash consultant. And so there would be times where I'd say, okay, do you want coach or consultant right now? Do you want, you know, what are you looking for in this moment? And I think that's one thing because coaching is so specific on, you know, how coaching happens and what coaching is. I think it's really important to be clear about those roles as well, because I think it's important to be clear about some of those things just because we also want, as coaches, we want to empower people to listen to their, you know, to themselves, to know what's going on internally, to listen to their own voice, to come up with solutions and answers, because those are in you and yeah. to be empowered to walk forward in those, not to become reliant on another person and feel like, oh, I only did it because that person told me or gave me this advice, right? It's about empowering you to move forward, not creating another dependency, essentially.
But I really appreciate that you use the word dependency because that kind of takes away the whole premise of growing pains.
Yeah.
Otherwise, right?
Yeah.
Any way you look at it, you need the growing pains because the way life works, life's a funny bitch. She sometimes gives you the same scenario, the same situation with different people. And you're just like, why does this happen to me all the time?
Yeah.
Bitch, it means that you're not growing and learning the lesson that life is trying to teach you. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You're attracting the same type of characters. You're attracting the same type of drama. You're attracting the same of everything because the world will be like, hey, just waiting for you to catch on.
Yeah.
This is the lesson you have to learn. So instead of having that dependency or that codependency on, I need you to help me with my life, mm-hmm. it's more of, yeah, I can give you perspective from me.
Right.
But you also, what I wanted to add was, is you also can't go out there then and saying like, well, I did that and my coach told me to do that and now I lost $50,000.
Right.
So it's that really that line of being ethically correct.
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally. And honestly, what comes to mind for me, I'm trying to think about how to tell this story without getting into too many details of it. But I had a situation in my life happen where, you know, something came up and because we are friends, you know, I came to you and another one of my friends as friends asking for advice on something and what should I do in this situation? And of course, as friends, we always, because we're protective of our friends too, right? Yeah. So we want to stand up for them. We want to be like, no, don't accept this or make sure you do this or you should say this and that sort of thing. You were so wise in that moment to even recognize, because I wasn't coming to you as my coach. I was coming as a friend, but you're our coach. That's just part of who you are. And recognizing that the best thing you could do for me in that moment was to turn it back to me and instead say, wait, instead of me telling you what I would do in that situation or what I think you should do, you came at it from a coach's perspective of really having me dive deep into one, how am I feeling about this? What do I want? Like if I could get really honest, what is it that I want? And just that permission and that safe space to explore that within myself had totally different outcomes in how I moved forward with that situation. But also, I think that was one of those situations where had you just said, this is what you should do, and then I did it, that would have been one of those situations where I'm repeating the same mistakes I've always made, because instead of understanding what it is I want and then having the courage to say it and do it, internal validation versus looking for external validation and pleasing other people with how I respond, it's almost like it broke this chain that had been gripping me for so long. And I don't know. I mean, I know you know what situation I'm talking about, but that was a really powerful moment and situation that I feel like, I don't know, it's like it unleashed something in me because it was not me just doing what somebody else said or taking somebody else's advice. It was really, really getting gut-wrenchingly honest with myself and speaking that out loud, not just knowing it inside, but saying it to somebody I could trust. And then doing something about it. It was powerful.
I appreciate you sharing because it was equally as powerful for me. Mm. It was one of those situations where you're just like, how do I tell her? Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Without telling you, just don't do it. Right? Because yes. Here was the other thing too. Like, I am really bad at being part of group text, never mind with other women that I've never met before, because I know just how that can come across. So I'm very mindful now as like a very well-rounded 30-something-year-old that I want to be sure that I don't want to contribute negatively if I don't have to, if I have another option, right? And I remember going going through this scenario, and it doesn't really matter what the scenario is. What I'm getting to is that from like a coach's perspective, which really is what I took, because if I was your friend, I would have just said like, don't do it. And all I could think about, and sometimes it does still get hard as a coach, because you're really internalizing like, all right, what is like a really good next question? Yeah. How can I get them to this place of realization? Like, aha, that's what you meant, mm-hmm. without me telling you. And I have to say that I really struggled for those 40 minutes that we were on the phone, because all I was concerned about was, I don't want to say it so then she just goes and do it. I want her to feel that I'm giving her that permission to just say what she wants or do what she wants.
Yeah.
And then after you were like, I was like, all right, so if this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. You're like, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I go, okay, how does that feel? And I remember you saying something like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to do that thing anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? I was like, are you serious? You're like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I really was like 20 minutes ago, but like now it's like I could go for a run or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't on the top of your priority list because you were like emotionally hijacked, or just you were like hyped on adrenaline.
Yeah.
And so I also want to say that from like a coaching perspective, that was really challenging. Mm. I don't win as a coach if my client doesn't win. Like, I only win if my client wins, really.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like in any marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the whole reminder too, that you hear me say all the time, which I learned from somebody that I'm not exactly sure who I learned it from, because it was years ago, but it's become my mantra, right? Action brings clarity. And sometimes we need the help to do whatever it is we're going to do. And we've said this over and over, there's not always a right decision, but we just have to make a decision. And then making that decision, taking that action, is going to provide data and feedback. And that will lead to more clarity, whether it's, oh, that was a complete disaster, now what do I do with that? Or that was exactly what I needed to do. And we can't orchestrate that for people. Oftentimes we can't even orchestrate that for ourselves, because we can't see, even though we think we're really smart and we can see five steps ahead, we really can't, because what we're predicting five steps ahead is based on our past, not based on our future. And so we sometimes just need that courage, that strength, that clarity in the moment to take the next step. And then what we do with the step after that, we'll decide when we get to that step, right? It literally is. I know it can be so cliche, but it literally is one step at a time. And sometimes we're running faster and sometimes we're limping, but it's still forward motion.
To add to that as well, it's all those things plus zero judgment.
Plus zero judgment. That is
huge. Zero judgment from the coach, but also no judgment and no fucking shame. Like, that I don't subscribe to in any of my sessions. I do it to myself, and then I just trust that my coach puts me in my place, but I don't subscribe to that for my clients, because really, what the fuck does shaming and judgment do for you?
Well, I can tell you what it does to you, and none of it is positive. None of it is positive.
Okay, well, there you go. It's not positive and it's not helpful. And
well, I was going to say, what I like about what you said is when you said no judgment from your coach, but it is also because we can be our harshest judges, right? We can be our worst critics. We can be utterly cruel in what we say about ourselves. And I think a good coach is going to help coach us even in those things, in those moments. And sometimes that is the biggest transformation. And that is the biggest turnaround that helps us get where we need to go.
100%. And I find that the more and more I work with a variety of clients, but also seeing them consistently.
Yes.
You start noticing too, the way they're showing up for themselves in session with you.
Yeah.
I had someone say like, but I'm so smart and intelligent and I have a good job and I make all this money and why did I allow this to happen to myself or something? Mm. And I always have to have this urge to laugh, not because what you're saying is funny. It's just, it's so relatable, because the answer to that hypothetical question is that you're human.
Yeah.
That's it. You're human.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you were supposed to know, but like, you didn't know that this guy was going to ghost you, or you didn't know that this job wasn't your dream, even though you thought it was. Like, you only know what you know, and there is no failure if you've learned something from it. And then at the end of the day, you're only human, so you can only give as much as you can.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how harsh I can be and how you can be to yourself.
Yeah.
And then seeing that bit of transformation of how you show up for you in session.
Mm.
I think that's one of those moments where you're just like, I'm so fucking good at my job.
And you're like, I love this. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Would it be interesting to kind of talk about like, all right, so where are we right now? I call them more of like a creative brainstorming session, if anything, because we were still in that kind of that breakdown, breakthrough phase of we just got to word vomit everything. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what I've dreamt about. I always thought it would be cool to do voiceovers and kind of putting everything on paper. Mm-hmm. And then as a coach, we kind of say, hey, this is kind of what I'm seeing as like a reoccurring theme.
Yep.
And so I'm wondering, where are you today in terms of like building your empire?
That's a good question. I feel like I am transitioning what I have been doing while also laying a brand new foundation. So in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm at the beginning stages all over again, even though I guess technically I'm not really. But I do know that, you know, life coaching and then also training, continuing to train and do small group coaching and things like that, that's going to be a huge part of it.
I was thinking too, right? Because this, we didn't really get into this. Of like what your business was before I met you.
Yeah.
Which was a complete different Erica era.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your original business?
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, originally it started out as a blog. I just was, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. I have 4 kids. I was married. And I've always loved to write. And I guess I've always had goals, things I've wanted to do. And so it started out just writing and trying to share the things that I was learning with whomever it was that wanted to read. And then that kind of transformed into a business. So I started selling some digital products for families, kids and families. It was all very faith-based. And then there was some pretty big things that happened in my life. And I kind of thought, you know, I laughed earlier when you said, have you ever been in a place where you felt like you were at rock bottom and you think, can it get any worse than this? Well, I thought that I was at rock bottom, or my marriage was at rock bottom. But I also thought maybe this is the thing that's going to turn everything around. Maybe this is like the start of healing and growth and change and all of that kind of thing. Also at that time, I created a product based on what my audience was telling me and what I just was listening a lot and trying to hear where they were struggling and what they needed. And I created a product that ended up doing very well. And so over the past few years, that has grown and I have started manufacturing that overseas, having that imported and, you know, it's basically e-commerce, right? So I'm selling it and I've got my garage filled with product out there. So I'm packaging it, you know, taking orders, packaging it, shipping them out and things like that. You know, that kind of turnaround where I thought maybe this is the best thing that could happen turned out wasn't. And things continued to decline. And it was an incredibly difficult few years. You know, I definitely had to come to a place of, when I say, if we're not honest with ourselves, we can't be honest with anybody else. I had to learn that for myself. I had to learn that I can't silver lining everything. Because I tend to see the best in people, but that, which is a good thing, but that can't be used as a justification of actions or behaviors that are continuing to happen over and over again. And so as I started to grow in understanding my own codependency and lack of boundaries. You know, I was in therapy and trying to learn about myself in order to strengthen and heal and help my marriage. But ultimately that marriage ended. And it wasn't just, so when I said earlier about the great unraveling, it wasn't just my marriage, but that affects my family, which in turn affected my business because I have a faith-based business. And I wasn't about to go spilling all of the details of what had happened in my marriage and some of the choices that my husband at the time had made and what some of those patterns were out to everybody. And so there was a lot of judgment, both real and a lot of perceived judgment. I didn't know how the faith-based community would respond to that. Well, I did know because some were responding in a particular way, but a few does not make an entire community. So all of these things were just completely coming apart. And I grieved over that for a long time and also worked towards healing and better understanding and asking a whole lot of questions so that instead of living a life that was by default, maybe, Just doing the next thing or living by what other people expected or what I thought other people expected or to please others versus really understanding who am I and who was I made to be and what have I been called to do and what is it that I really should be doing with this life? But I also began to see it as the greatest opportunity to now start fresh, to start from scratch, to say, I'm not going to live a life that has been dictated to me or that has been lived by default, but I get to envision my future and build it into what I feel I've been called to do and what I have, what's been put in my heart to go forward and do and be and accomplish. And that's one of the most exciting things I think about all of it. And so I realize that I'm still kind of spinning it and silver lining it, but it's in a healed way, not just I'm trying to spin it and not look at the ugly underbelly of it.
I want to say thank you just for sharing as much as you're comfortable with sharing about your personal life. Like you always say, everyone has a story and has a journey of where they are today and how they got there and a lot of the fights they had to fight and the battles they had to win. The point is that you started over.
Yeah.
And you not only had to put your business on hold, you also had to take all this time away in order to come back. And from what I'm hearing is kind of reevaluating.
Yes.
What is still aligning.
Yes.
With the new.
Yep.
From the old.
Yes. So there was a period of time, if I'm being honest, where I wanted to burn it all to the ground. I wanted to completely, I mean, we've had these conversations, right? Like maybe I just burn it all to the ground and I walk away from the entire business and I just start from scratch. And I'm not going to lie. There are still even times now where I think, should I have just done that? Why? What am I doing? And this is, again, why we need life coaches to help us as we're as we're making some of those decisions. Yeah. To find out what is in alignment. What is the direction that I'm needing and wanting to go? All that to say, I didn't burn it all to the ground. And so now it is looking at how do I integrate the good of what was and the good of what's to come? And how do those align together, both for the present and for the future?
I mean, there is a $1 million question that even I want to know. It's like, well, how do you do that?
How do you do that? That's a great question. Well, a couple things come top of mind. One, so authenticity is a huge value of mine. And that might not be everybody else's, you know, that might not be something that somebody else values, but for me, it is. In that vein, self-awareness is incredibly important. Talking about coming out of hiding, knowing who you are, and then living that. But the reason I say self-awareness is because I don't want to be split. I don't want to be this person, but have this kind of business over here. I want those things to be fully in alignment with one another. And if I am not growing in self-awareness, and I do think a lot of people will say they're very self-aware because they've watched some TikTok videos or they know the right terms to use or they're knowledgeable enough, but that does not equate to self-awareness and knowing oneself, to recognizing one's patterns, to pulling up, like I said, that underbelly of what is really deep in our hearts. What is motivating us? What are those subconscious thought patterns that are essentially ruling us? What are the beliefs that we've lived by that, whether we've realized them or not? So all of that to say, I think self-awareness is huge in order to be in alignment moving forward. Courage is incredibly important because it is probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my whole life. And not to be a salesperson, but one of the things that has helped me tremendously with both of those is coaching and working, you and I working together in that safe space to be able to be honest. Therapy is another huge one. But if you can find the right fit of a therapist, that can be incredibly helpful too, because I think looking at those childhood wounds and healing that inner child is so much stems from that.
I think we both, and I'm sure many listeners could relate to, it takes so much more than that. I went through my own versions of transition. The most recent, I would say that was that life-changing was coming to America. For me personally, I don't tell myself like, let's go be courageous today.
No.
It's very a mindset. I don't know. I'm like at a loss for words how to say that. I know intuitively that I have it and that I can be, because courage and fight or flight mode and survival mode is a very interesting fine line sometimes.
Yep, absolutely.
But the authentic part of you have to somehow, even though you're in the midst of change, even though there's all these external things or people that don't remind you of who you used to be, you know who you were, at least at some given moment. Yes. So go based off of that, because your new self will come.
Yes.
But if you don't really believe that you have authenticity or that you are authentic, then any transition is going to be absolutely challenging, because you're going to be influenced, and any way the wind blows you're going to go to is very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
I am courage and I am authentic.
It's Emma Donahue, and she said, scared is what you're feeling, brave is what you're doing. And it's this conscious choice that, yes, I'm feeling the fear, and also, I'm going to move forward. When we understand even the physiological response, our brains are wired to protect us. So what happens when we experience a threat, even if it's simply a perceived threat, what happens in our body, the cortisol, the adrenaline, the fight or flight, you know, all of those things, when we understand that, it helps us also. And kind of coming back to what you said earlier about when you mentioned something to the effect of understanding what does that feel like in our bodies, I think that is huge.
Yeah. Or having someone else's fear be your driving force of not doing something, right? Yes. Something that came up for me being part of your journey, but also my own journey of transition, I've realized that no one can do it for you. No one's going to do it for you. And no one's going to give you the life that you want.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this when I came to America, because he was willing to give me all the things that he as a man and he as a person wanted to give me, right? Like a home and a husband and that life together. And so, yeah, he gave me a lot of that. And then after about a year, you also realize, like, all right, well, I can't use this excuse anymore of why I don't know what I'm doing. So there's, for me, it was this moment of, I do believe there's a time and a place for you to be in fight or flight mode and to just go.
Yeah.
And there is a time to acknowledge that no longer is serving you.
Yes.
And when that happens, when you get off that ride, and you see it often, right? When someone passes away and you look at the family and everyone's crying, but like this one person, because they're just probably keeping it together for everybody else, doing the logistics. Where's the coffee? Where's the tea? Where's the pound cake? Where's the music? Where's the celebration? And it doesn't hit you till later. That state can be very helpful.
Yeah.
Know when you have to get off that ride.
Yeah.
And know that you trust yourself enough that what the fuck it is that you're doing will work out.
Yeah.
Because no one else will believe in you more than you. And when I came to America and then visited what at the time was my boyfriend and then all of a sudden became my husband, what felt like in the same week, a lot of people were not about that.
Mm.
They were not about that because they lost me as a friend, maybe because I was always too accessible to them, maybe because I was manipulating. No, they were manipulating me enough to do whatever it is that they wanted, or which I later found out was, well, what is it that she has that I don't have that a man like that would sweep her off her feet and give her all the things that I've been looking for this whole time? And somewhere I was like, okay, like I'll just go. I don't really know what I was thinking other than I believe there is a reason why this was brought to me. It's like the train is at the station. You just have to get on.
Yeah.
You got to trust you. And if you don't, then you got to do something about that.
Yes. Well, and you've got to do something about that, right? So what would you say is something, because I think there's probably going to be a lot of people listening who are like, I don't trust myself. I don't know how to do that. Or I've been through these circumstances that have caused me to doubt myself. So what would you say is something that they could do even as a first step to begin to trust themselves?
The first thing that comes to mind is lowering the volume of everyone else. Because you got to suss it out where somehow we can go into the busiest restaurant. And if you pay attention to all the other chatter that's happening around you, the person that's sitting in front of you, all of a sudden can't hear them anymore, right?
Yes.
But somehow we can walk into a restaurant and sit there and just look you dead in the eye and not even pay attention. Like, you know what's happening around you, but all you hear is the person in front of you. The person in front of you should be you.
Yeah.
Or maybe one other person that you really trust.
Yeah.
But if you're someone that's going to be swayed or has been, and you aren't realizing this until maybe right now, you're not a bad person. It's not a mistake. It's not a big deal. So everything we've learned about coaching in this episode is you already have the answers to your questions.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's all about you and your life and your happiness and your alignment. So if we keep that in mind, that you for sure have the answers, then we need to find a way to make that known to your brain every day. Mm. So if that means writing an affirmation, if that means to put an alarm on your phone that says, I trust in me, I trust I have the answers, whatever the fuck it is that works for you, do it.
Yeah.
So really taking ownership.
Yeah.
Because are you able to live with what could have been, but I don't have because I wanted to make a person in my family or someone in my friendship group happy? Because if you can, then stay or don't do that thing that you want to do. But if you tell yourself that you cannot live with not knowing, I'd rather live with regret, knowing that I tried.
Yeah.
Then being like, I really wish I would have done that more. What a takeaway is that your old self has taught you today.
I don't know why this is what's coming to mind, but just this idea that you can do it. You can do anything. And I don't know why that's what it is, because I feel like that doesn't sound very profound and it's so simple, but maybe because in my past, there were so many things that held me back, or I allowed so many things to hold me back. And I don't have to live that way anymore. And I can do the things that I want to do, that I feel called to do. And the past does not dictate my future.
I tried for a very long time to make myself smaller, fit in a box, to just kind of fly under the radar, and that the things that I was worried about in terms of like character and characteristic traits and things that I enjoy and that I want to advocate for in life, always, always embrace it and don't abandon it. Mm-hmm. Because now I'm in a place where it's like, well, bitch, if I had done that 10 years ago, I could have told that teacher to go fuck himself. I could have told that girl to stop even with her shenanigans and trying to gossip her way through life. Mm. And I would have told everyone else of like, if you don't want to understand what I do, who I am, the work that I create, then that's on you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me any less of a person that has the absolute right to coexist with you on this fucking planet. So my old self is really telling me, stop with your bullshit and embrace all those things. There's a reason why you have them and you're wasting it away by not acting on, in this case, finally doing a podcast. I have no idea what the future is for the podcast. I don't know what it's going to do for me. I don't know what it's going to do for you. What I know is what I know now is that that's what I want to do. That's it. But some of my favorite stories are people who are like, oh, I worked in a library my whole life or a school, this and that, took a leap and I'm in my 60s and I'm starting a cupcake company or something. So it's like this premise of you can also give yourself the permission to adjust your plan.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can be good at multiple things. Some people aren't that lucky, but if you are and you're great at data processing or being a software engineer, then I think that's fantastic. But if you also have a dream to work at a sanctuary for elephants, then you should go do that. Like, I don't understand this idea of having to choose. We say we only live once, so like YOLO, but somehow we act like that means we can only do one thing. But also, life is short, but in the contrary, life is long.
Yeah. We're not going to miss what's meant for us. That, but then trusting that we're going to get to where we need to be and we're going to be able to do the things that we want to do because we're not trying to put on somebody else's life onto us, or, you know, the expectations that somebody else has onto who we are, because that was never meant for us.
This is also the part of transition I wanted to make very clear. Not everyone gets access to you. But in transition, not everyone stays with you.
No.
If you wonder why, and if that's more important to you, then you're not ready. If it's more important for you to have your friend stay with you versus your friend supporting you to become a better person and a better you, then you're not ready to explore. I've heard people say, well, you should maybe go to a gym and like make friends, or, you know, it's really unhealthy being here in this new country and like having no friends. It's like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Like, I get it. Like, you don't have to tell me. It's like me telling you that you have fair skin. Like, you know, it's like literally stating the obvious, right? Mm-hmm. But what you don't know is that I'm well aware and equipped to make the friendships and the relationships last. The biggest difference is that almost all my relationships are long distance. Hmm. And the way I describe how my friends play a role in my life is I describe it as a house, and my friends are inside my house, like inside this living room space. At some point, it's crowded. And sometimes some people just gotta leave, make room to have new people enter. That's it. It's okay, because yeah, sometimes you end those type of friendships and they're really like a painful breakup.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, all I want for the people that I used to be friends with that are no longer playing that part in my life is I hope you're happy. Mm. I hope you're getting everything out of life that you want,
yeah,
that you feel like you deserve and that you're looking for.
Yeah.
I don't believe that we need to be in that relationship just because we've known each other for 10 or 20, 25 years. I want us to be in each other's lives because it makes sense. And if your interests and your values and the way you look at life changes and mine changes because we evolve and we adapt to where we are, then I would prefer to just say, like, let's end the friendship. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not getting anything out of it, then there's no return of investment anymore.
Thank you for the role that you played in my life. And that's okay that that's not the same role anymore. Blessings on your journey too. You know what I mean? Like, it's a,
yes,
it can be a good and beautiful thing. It doesn't have to be this ugly fallout.
Or absolutely.
Hard feelings.
There's a stupid trend online about what's your word of the year? Last year was the first year I decided to start the year over in December versus January. So my new year from now on starts in December.
Yeah.
Because by the time January rolls around, I'm already habitually in place.
Yeah.
Spreading the word of wanting to choose your own happiness, because when you are happy, that directly affects everyone and everything around you. And I just want, therefore, I want to just tell my future self of everything that you've learned and gone through, you just have to keep going.
Mm.
Like, trust in the process, yeah, that whatever it is that you want to do, yep, make decisions, baby. Make that. Decisions.
That's right. Action brings clarity. Keep moving forward.
Yeah. And I forgot to say that my word for the year was decisions. And I said, never let time and overthinking deter you from just making a decision.
You know, we talk about these overnight success. We think, oh, they're an overnight success. Well, most of the time we haven't seen the years and years and years of practice and blood, sweat, and tears and determination that has gone into somebody all of a sudden becoming an overnight success. And similarly, with transformation, it might, oftentimes it's all of this time or pain or wrestling or effort, and then all of a sudden something will come, but then we revisit it, right? So be patient with yourself. But also, I would just say to be more curious. And I think when you can be more gentle with yourself instead of always demanding certain things or being harsh and critical, much more can be accomplished. Much more can be born and transformed through that.
Just go out there and have fun. For everything we've learned in life, especially the past few years, I would say we have a lot of fun to make up for. So I hope whatever it is that you end up doing is that you're going to do it with so much fun.
Yes and amen. I love that.
Thank you so much for tuning in and contributing to a space where we share stories and perspectives. If you like what you hear, please hit that follow button, and your rating and reviews can help get this podcast out there to more listeners. If you'd like to follow along, you can find me at This Is RO Podcast on Instagram, And be sure to check back every Wednesday for new episodes. Much love. Until next time, this is Ro.